Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Chelsea Bond with Let's Talk.
Good morning, this is Chelsea Bond. We are live this morning and I have a very special guest, but before I introduce him, I would like to first acknowledge the traditional owners on the land on which we're recording from this morning and the land on which you're listening from today. My guest today is, I call him Uncle Vern, but we're going to talk about why I'm not going to call him Uncle Vern today. My guest all the way from Inala is Vern Hopkins. Good morning, Vern.
Yeah, good morning, Charles.
Now, we're gonna talk about a lot of things today, and we're gonna listen to some country.
Absolutely.
You're gonna take me through your playlist.
A little bit.
A little bit, and we're gonna yarn about those songs. But as is tradition in this show, can you tell us who you are, where you come from?
Yeah, my name's Vern Hopkins. I'm the youngest of nine children. I was born in Rockhampton and born on the Bursica. And lived on the Bursica and spent a lot of time in the Fitzroy River and Rocky. My mob's on my father's side is Murrigan tribe, and on my mother's side is Bidra. So that's where I left there when I was quite young, about 15, 16, been in Brisbane. Since I come back out of the army in 1971.
Now, I call you uncle because basically, well, my cousin, you're an uncle to my cousin.
That's right.
Through marriage, so I call you uncle.
Yes.
But you roused me about not calling you uncle today.
Oh, I don't think I roused you. I just said, look, just tell people, look, they don't need to call me uncle. People don't need to call me uncle. That's just the way I am. Yeah.
And do you think that sometimes the uncle auntie term is overused?
That's one of the reasons why people seem to think, especially white people in government jobs and stuff like that, they feel they have the obligation to call all black fellows over 50 or something uncle and auntie.
Aye.
and unfortunately, some of our people demand it too, you know, and I don't see myself that way. I'd rather be called by. I think you should maybe when you address a person, maybe what they'd like to be called. And look, I'm down with, you know, just call me Vern, or the younger people, if they want to call me Mr. Hopkins, that's fine with me too. But there are a lot of young ones at Inala, I know their parents and grandparents and all that. They call me, I sort of let that slide because, you know, I can understand why people call people uncle and aunties, and it's about the respect thing. But I respect people to call me what I'd like them to call me, you know. I've been called a lot of different names.
Could be called worse.
Yeah.
You know, I often have non-Indigenous colleagues who will say, oh, should I call them, you know, what should I call them? And I say, well, yeah, ask. For me, if I don't have a relationship with someone that is in an auntie-uncle relationship, I don't use the term unless I ask permission first. And there are some people who I've known in my life who I've known as, say, work colleagues, but for me they've transitioned over the time that I've known them into a senior kind of role, say, in community life or things like that. And so I may not have met them first as auntie so-and-so, but they have become that over time and through my relationship with them. So it's kind of a fluid thing. It changes, eh? Like, it's not just everyone over 50 gets called auntie and uncle.
No, you know, it's just me. As I said, it's just my view on what I should be called, and I'm comfortable with the burn. I don't want people to feel that they're obligated to call me uncle, you know. I'd rather them call me, just call me Vern, or as I said, they can call me Mr. Hopkins if they like. You know, you would know, and I'd know that when I was growing up, they weren't uncle and auntie, you know. They were Mr. and Mrs. And I still go home and to Rocky and some of them old people, black ones too. I call them Mr. and Mrs. There's a couple of old people at an Isle of White ones. I call them Mr. and Mrs. You know, it's just the way it was. Then there was never any, just because there's a heap of black fellas up there in Rocky, we didn't walk around calling every...
Claiming them as...
We never call them Uncle Arnie. We call them Mr. and Mrs.
I mean, that's what I grew up on. We had to call, adults Miss by Mr. and Mrs. And so the calling adults for me is really... I feel uncomfortable to address adults by their first name, even though I'm an adult myself, but it's relative. Like, so older people to me, I feel funny calling by first name. And I know even growing up, our neighbours, we called them Mr. and Mrs. And I've known them for 38 all my life. Their kids call my parents by their first name. And even though they do, and even though our neighbours said, no, call us by our first name, it still doesn't feel right to call them by their first name.
See, the thing is that they're comfortable with that. Mm. You know, even now, like, our people have adopted the thing of uncle and auntie. You know, I talk to my sisters and they'll say about my brother, ask me about my brother, Trevor. I say, how's Uncle Trevor going? You know, we've adopted calling each other uncle and auntie.
Mm.
You know? It's just the way it is, and there's no right or wrong on it. It's just I'm comfortable with people just calling me Vern. I wouldn't get upset with people calling me uncle. I do make sure that if I'm in a group of white Australians, I make sure that I tell them just to call me Vern.
Mm.
I don't want them to feel obligated either, you know.
Yeah. I might try on the various titles throughout the show today, see which one fits best. But yeah, I think I'll just stick with.
That's all right. Yeah.
Now, so you grew up in Rocky, first 15 years of your life.
That's right. I grew up in Rocky, first 15 years of my life.
And then where'd you go?
Well, as I said, I 1963 was the last year of grade 8 at primary school, and I say fortunate to finish grade 8 at primary school. Unlike now, they go there at grade 7. I was the youngest, as I said. Mum and Dad really couldn't afford to send me to high school. Dad was still working out in the stations. So I went down to Mr. Brown's place down in Yeppoon. We worked with a group of other black fellas too, the Millers and the Rose and stuff like that. Worked on a pineapple farm and cum cattle farm and everything like that. He had about 3 or 4 properties, and it was just magic. You know, you'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning milking a cow.
Sorry, that's magical? Absolutely. 4 o'clock in the morning milking a cow. How is that magical?
Well, I was used to getting up that time. Mm-mm. You know, like, you're home and old people would always be up, you know. Mm. They'd be up. You could hear them staking up the fire or something. You know, they'd be 5 o'clock or something. So it was just, I don't know, it's the way you've been brought up. You know, we didn't have any electronics to occupy our mind.
No iPad.
We're still able to say good morning to each other without walking. And there we are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, milking a cow is one of my special memories, I reckon. I didn't know how to do it. I got shown and that, but she was so placid that... She just stood there and you'd fill up 2 big buckets of thing. But that's, you know, if you had to do that in the morning, well, your day started at 4, you mightn't finish till 10 at night. But it was just, we just all took it in our stride as young fellas. We didn't get paid good money. We were still under that reign of Aboriginal Act, you know, sort of thing where they didn't have to pay us that.
Mm.
But I think it's because we all worked together and we just enjoyed it, and it got us through. It wasn't then about the money. It was about being able to contribute to our families, I suppose, or just let people know that we come from a a family that wasn't afraid of hard work, and that's what we've always been brought up to be, you know.
And so how did you get to Brisbane? How did you get, can I ask, did you come to Inala, was Inala your first stop in Brisbane?
No, it wasn't. When I come back from Vietnam in 1971, I lived around the Paddington area. Worked around there. Worked in Brisbane. Brisbane was like growing then. You could walk from one job to another, and you could be a briggy labourer, you could be a scaffolder, you could be a rigger. You could be all of them things without a ticket, you know. I remember riding the hooks and everything up along on the waterfront there and all that stuff. But so that's where I lived. I lived around Paddington and Red Hill, Toowong Way. And then I met a lady and sort of went out to Inala in 1974. I had a commute from Inala to Newmarket. I used to work for a plumber, you know, a labourer for a plumber. So you live in Inala, you know how the service of the, you know, the
transport
is
pretty good now. Is decent-ish now, but in the 70s, that was, it would have been a commute to get.
It was. The bus went at 5 o'clock. If you missed that, well, just too bad, you know, like. I'd start at 7. So you'd catch the bus and then go all around an island and you'd get, drop you off at Oxley. And if you missed that train going through, like the trains run every quarter of an hour now, or 10 minutes, they used to run about every half hour. So if you're lucky enough to catch that train, most days I'd get out to work at Newmarket right on 7 o'clock. I was lucky enough to have the depot right next door to the train station. Yeah, but I basically moved out to Inala, moved into Inala in about 78. I was still working in the railway then. Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk to you more about Inala, but I'm going to cut to a song.
Yes?
A song by Travis Collins.
Is it Travis Collins and
Amber Lawrence.
Yep.
Our Own Backyards. This is one of on your playlist.
Tell
us,
right.
Tell us why this song is special for you.
I think they sing about this beautiful country of ours. The words, if you listen to the words, that's what they sing about. They sing and they tell people why go anywhere else to look for the beauty of a country when we have it all here in our backyard, you know, from the beaches to the rock, to the desert, to the Gulf, everywhere. You know, everywhere you go to this, and through this country, you couldn't ask for a more beautiful place. So when I first heard it, and they're such great singers too, you know. I'm a country man from a long, long time ago, and nobody will ever take the place of, you know, the late Hank Williams, and he's the number one. And but these young Australian country singers now are right up there with them, you know. It's not only the Keith Urbans of the community now; it's better. On Troy too, of course.
But
these younger ones here now, they really, really are really good. They sing the style I like, the style of country I like. I like a lot of country rock. I love the sad ones too. You don't like
them. Well, I was sad. I mean, this playlist that you gave me this morning, I did listen to them all because I'm not really, I work on a country radio station, but I'm not really into country music. But these songs that, and then the first one we're kicking off with, which I really liked, they're really uplifting because I associate country music with sad, depressing songs. But these ones are very sentimental, I'd say, and uplifting.
My style, my kind of music.
Let's sing about our own backyard.
Of the Coliseum, I've marveled at the northern lights, watched the flicker of the Eiffel Tower on a hot French summer night, walked the cobblestone streets of London, rolled a 7 on the Vegas Strip, been on Broadway in New York City. I love nothing like a silver tan sunset, setting fire to an outback sky. Nothing like taking in the harbor from the man.
This is Chelsea Bond with Let's Talk.
This is Chelsea Bond with Vern Hopkins, and we're talking about our own backyard, Inala. We're talking about country music. And we were just been yarning about I mean, that song is a really beautiful song. I was surprised I enjoyed the song, not being a country music fan. But it's a beautiful film clip as well. Of the beauty of our country. And it got me thinking about how we don't appreciate what's in our own backyard. And I remember a few years back I was doing research with Mob across Brisbane about community and the neighbourhoods that they live in. And I remember there was a community member from Inala talking about how, you know, you see Mob grow up in Inala and some of them bust their guts to get out of Inala, to make it, so to speak. But in a year or two's time, they come back because there's something special about this place and you don't always appreciate it until you go away. What's special about Inala for you, Uncle Vern?
Well, I think it's... I just find that people, and especially where I live, I wouldn't change where I live for the world, you know, like... I live in a multicultural street.
Mm.
I have a Chinaman, I have Sri Lankans, I have surrounded by Vietnamese and a couple of white Australians and Greek and Polish and all in one street. And I've watched children grow up there. And Blackwellers, the amount of Murrays there.
We got mob out there, yeah.
And then let's not forget the community of the Torres Strait Islander people there too.
Mm.
There are new families working there now, but moving to there now. But I just like the way the young ones have lifted themselves up. The ones that are working now, and how they recognise the value of the work. How the young, I was at a function last Friday night up at the football ground, dealing with suicide, and that a program that's been set up by Mission Australia, Roxanne Ware, Roxy probably maybe not listening, but she's the main player in it, and how all the players have come together to try to participate and make it. Awareness of it all, and that includes the Indigenous Health Group. You know, you have Anna Lee, the dietitian, was up there. You had the women's group up there, the men's group up there. You had Wongara there, Inala Junior Lee there. You had young Mako and Mokwe cooking up, and young. Yoshi Hatt were out there playing games with the kids and stuff like that, you know. And the justice group too. The justice group is very important out there now. They've established that proper, and they have Murray Court out there. I'm thinking about being a respected person on it, and I was only in it. I was only sitting in court the other day just to be an observer of it all, and I'm very impressed with the way that the coordinator is. Has really brought it all together, you know, and made me proud. I was sitting around watching them, and all the young mothers were there with all the dadums, you know, and they had all these things set up for them, and how the children were interacting with each other, and the mothers being mothers, you know, hovering around. But I think the most important thing, how everybody was up trying to help each other. They was all there willing to, you know, help a hand, and you seen them all sitting up. I was there sitting down there, busted a leg. I couldn't get up and do anything. But they told me that afterwards, everybody pitched in and cleaned up after it. See, just that's what you know, closing the gap's about. It's one of the beauties of it was that I was sitting around, and these two old white people walked in. They just walked in, and I asked Sonny. I said, "Sit down, brother. You know, sit down and enjoy. You know." And I asked young Sonia Haggard, I said, "Could you just go and get them a cup of tea?" And she, no problems, went and did that. And that's what I mean, you know, people coming in off like that. And that's what community, that's what everybody needs, you know, all that stuff. I live in Harmony in my street. I wouldn't live anywhere else. I talk about, you go up to the Civic, you see all nations up there, you know. Somebody said on statistics show now that 20% of Nala is Muslim. I don't have a problem with Muslims. I had Muslims living next door to me, and I had Arabs living up the top of me and invited me into the homes, call me brother. And so they're part of my family now too. So I don't have that thing. I know we all have a little bit of racism in us, but I try not to be that way. And It's just amazing how Anala people, you know, third class bloody citizens they were when they got put out there many, many years ago, you know, and how hard they fought to make it a better place out there.
And the sense of community that's been fostered there, you know, like, and I think that's the thing I really value about, even for my kids growing up, is not being afraid of the other, because everyone is different. You know, when they go to school, it's so culturally diverse, and that's not seen as a threat or a problem. They're just your mates. And not all kids get that opportunity when they're going through school to be surrounded by people that are different and appreciate difference as something to be, you know, valued, and it, seeing it as something that's rich, rather than that we should be afraid of each other, or, you know, put each other down, or, you know, demonize other groups that are different to us.
I don't think you should be able to look at take in their culture. You don't have to understand it all. Just take it in a person. Just take that person in, you know. I got two granddaughters that go to high school up from where I live, and I went up there to sign one up for a home study thing after school once, and I'm standing there waiting to go and take her into the thing, and all these girls, hello, you know, you got Samoans and Tongans and Maoris and Indian and young Muslim girls and white Australians. And that's all they looked at. They just looked at them as they're equal. They just looked at them. That's their classmates and everything. They don't go around and ask them about their religion. They just don't do that. And I think if we just take that on board, if we just look at the person and bring them into us, and I think it'd be a better place. And Anala, I think, is a place where we can do that.
Yeah, it's a place we love. And I'm going to segue into the theme of love for our next song. We're going to come back and talk about this song. But the next song that Uncle's requested for this morning is Drunk on Love by Luke Bryan. We're drunk on love for Anala, hey?
that they say.
Cottonwood falling like snow in July. Sunset riverside, four-wheel drives and a taillight circle. Roll down the windows, turn it on up. Pour a little Crown in a Dixie cup. Get the party started. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man. Gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime. If you ain't a 10, you're a 9.9. Tipping and spilling that homemade wine on your tied up t-shirt. Every little kiss is a driving me wild. Throwing little cherry bombs into my fire. Good God Almighty. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man go mm-hmm. You're looking so good in what's left of those blue jeans. Drip of honey on the money maker gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime. Let's slip on out where it's a little bit. Get off on out in the water. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate in the full moon. That kind of thing makes a man go mm-hmm. You're looking so good in what's left of those blue jeans. Drip of honey on the money maker gotta be the best buzz I'm ever gonna find. Yeah, I'm a little drunk on you.
I'm just trying to be a father. Raise a daughter and a son. Be a lover to their mother. Everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early. I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success. From my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money. There's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory. I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost. I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't wanna die for you. But if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor. take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, experience the spiritual lands of the Gulf at the Gulf Country Frontier Days Festival, August 17 to 20 at Burttown, Queensland. 4 days of cultural dances, live music and adrenaline-pumping rodeo action with the first ever Indigenous Rodeo Championships. There's a unique tribal dance program from Australia's First Nations people and specially invited Native American powwow dancers. Nightly concerts including Troy Cassidaly, Casey Chambers and Shane Howard. For more information, check out the web or Facebook. The Gulf Country Frontier Days Festival, August 17 to 20 at Burttown.
Station sponsor.
This is Chelsea Bond with Let's Talk.
This is Chelsea Bond with Let's Talk, and we are talking country music with Vernon Hopkins. And the song we were just listening to, American Soldier by Toby Keith, has particular significance for you, Uncle.
Yes, it's because I'm a Vietnam vet, and it always... If you listen to the words, he sings about the soldier that is always on the front line. He's always standing too. He doesn't want to die for you, but if dying, that's what it means, he will die with you with dignity and all that stuff.
Mm.
We have a lot of servicemen and women that served our country from the Boer War on up to today and beyond once we go. Men and women that... we all should be proud of, some of them given their lives. Some of them, as I say, are people like myself that suffer from mental trauma and things. But it's just a significant song. Next Friday on the 18th is Vietnam Vets Day. It's the Battle of Long Tan. A lot of people wouldn't know this, but there was about 6 or 7 Aboriginal blokes in that battle. 1 or 2 come from home. And that day, Vietnam Vets Day, Anzac Day, most important dates on my calendar. I find it sometimes a little bit difficult to get through the day because it brings back memories and all that stuff. I don't really think about me old mates. I think about them old people gone from years ago. I don't know if you know this, but up to a couple of years ago, I think the armed forces employed was the biggest employer of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and women.
Mm.
But it means a lot to me, that song.
Can I ask? I mean, we started the show about, you know, working hard and at a time in this country where, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are under quite restrictive, you know, legislation, the Act that we know. What inspired you to fight for this country?
Well, see, where I grew up, we was lucky. We lived in a place where, unlike communities like Cherbourg and Moorabbinder and all that stuff, where there was... That was really, really governed by the Act. You know, I had to get permission to get off here and work on rations and that. Whilst we was all under the Act, my father used to work out in cattle stations and that and get, you know, less pay than a white man. But we were lucky living in Rockhampton because we didn't have to go through all that stuff. Why I joined the Army, my dad served in World War II. My two of my oldest brothers done a bit of time in our national service in the early 60s, when they first brought out. So there were three things, when I was going to school, I wanted to be. I only managed to do once. One, I wanted to be a carpenter. Don't ask me why. Maybe because of my belief in the Lord, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I wanted to be in the Army. I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps, I suppose. And the other one I wanted to be was, when I come out, I wanted to be a policeman. But
hey.
But that didn't happen. But that's why
lucky for you it didn't happen. No, good ways.
I don't know.
Yeah. Can I ask when you first went over? What year was this? How old were you?
I mean, it was 19, you know, I went over 1970s, come home in 71, yeah.
Did you see any snakes over there?
Well, Charles, you know, as I tell you the story about it, I fear snakes, something terrible, a bit like the crocodile and the shark, you know.
Mm-mm.
I'll stay away from them, but I'll tell you a story. I was over Vietnam. I was a forward scout at Vietnam, and this time when I was on operations, I was the number one scout out in front. I was going up this ridge line. It was pretty thick, jungle on each side sort of thing, and I was out in front, and I must have been about 5-6 metres in front of me, corporal behind me, and we just going through the scrub and along this little path. It was an old path that obviously was an old path, but hadn't been used for a long, long time, so... All I was watching was where my footing was. I wasn't too worried about anything else, you know, because I didn't want to slip down the side.
Mm.
And then we come along and there was the sun was shining through and there was a snake there. I didn't know what it was first. I see this thing and I didn't know what it was. So I pulled everybody up, put my hand up, stopped, knelt down. I looked and there was a snake, old tree snake, I think it was. He was about 4 or 5 foot long. Mm-hmm. And he had to live in the mouth, just having any dinner, breakfast, you know, sort of thing. And he was from here to me to you from away from me, you know. I'm picking up these little rocks and twigs and I'm throwing them at it. Right off the track. And he had a corporal come and tapped me on the shoulder and whispered, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Snake." He said, "Put your bayonet on and flick him off." I said, "You put your bayonet on and flick him off." I wasn't going to go anywhere near the rotten thing. So he went and done it, didn't he? A couple of weeks after, we're still in on the operation, we had to go into a fire support base in the scrub, you know. Fire support place is a place where they have a thing out in the scrub where you'd be able to go in and get cleaned up a bit and have a decent meal from the salvos and all that stuff. But anyhow, as it be, I was a scout going in. Our platoon was going into this fire support. We get in there and I cleaned up a bit and next to this tank mob, they were smiling at me and they said, "Hey, you hoppy, eh?" I said, yeah. He said, "What are you, frightened of snakes?" I said, "Yeah, well, you know." They said, "We thought you black fellas eat snakes." I said, "Listen, them poor bloods up in territory, I come from Queensland, we don't eat snakes." But I'm terrified of them, absolutely terrified of snakes.
You put your life on the line, but not for snake.
No way in the world.
Hey.
Yeah. No way in the world. No, it was just, I just can't stand them.
I mean, I can't laugh. I don't like mice, cockroaches, snake, anything. Mm. I'm frightened of them all. Anything that moves, bless. Now there's one more song I want to play. Yeah. During the show that you requested. It's a song called Boots On by Travis Collins. Mm. Now, what was special about, why are we playing this song?
Well, I over the years I've been telling everybody and myself, I've been saying, look, you know how when people just die and the family have to kind of arrange everything? I'm a big believer in arranging your own stuff. You know, you write it down, you tell your family, you know, where you want to be buried and what songs you want to, you know, because we all play songs now, you know. Mm-mm. So I was writing down a couple of songs and blah, 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 and I seen this on Country Music Channel, and I just loved it. I just fell in love with it, you know. I said, gee whiz, I'm going to play that at my funeral. And so I was in the car one day and I got a USB in there and I said to my youngest daughter, I said, chick, just have a listen to the song. She listened. She said, oh, that's Deadly Dad. I said, I want you to play that at my funeral. She said, what? I said, at my funeral. She said, when? Oh, when we let me down, you know. I was thinking
when, like, as if you were anticipating was going to happen. I'm like, hey, look out.
Where do you want me to practice? When we're lowering you in the ground, I said, no, you know, the song's about how I see it. It's about the faith in the Lord, about, and how we don't, you know, you don't care how you go when you die, but it's, so I want you to, when they carry me out of the coffin, when they carry me out of the church, play that song, it'll just crack everybody up, you know, mm-hmm. you know.
Now, I have a theory. I think it's a thing among blacks fellas to plan the funeral. Like, I know a whole lot of mob who have got their funeral songs picked out. I know some people who have seating arrangements at the funeral. They've got a guest list, people who are not allowed to come to the funeral. Do you reckon that's a thing? We've got a thing about organising our funerals well in advance of the event.
What are we going to do? Jump out of the cop and say, listen, I don't want you to hit the road, you know, sort of thing. No, I don't. Look, I think it's just a thing that everybody should think of.
Mm.
If you haven't got a funeral plan, please have some sort of backup on it. The last thing I want, how I see it, I don't want my kids to be worrying about money. I don't have money in here to bury me, you know.
Mm-mm.
They know where to bury me in Mount Gravatt and the military lawn thing. They know what songs, they know the church. And you know the church too.
Mm.
You know our pastors. You know we go to the same church, me and you. Mm-hmm. And that sort of thing, you know. They don't have to worry about it. They just come in, pick it all up and run with it. I know the funeral mob, blah, 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 and stuff like that.
Mm.
And, no flowers and all. They know all the little details. You know, they don't spend money on flowers. What for?
Mm.
What for?
So for you, it's about making the grieving process easier for them?
Absolutely. One of the things that we talk about death, you know, black fellas get their coffins all painted up and everything. That won't be happening with me. The Aboriginal flag, that won't be happening. I'll be having the Australian flag over mine because I served this country and Australia's my country. That flag's been around a hell of a long time before the Aboriginal flag. The Aboriginal flag wasn't even around when I come back from Vietnam. Mm. We talked a bit today about the anthem. I don't have a problem with people not singing the anthem. You know, I used to sing God Save the Queen, and I still gladly sing it now because standing on school parade grounds and they'd like up, you know, put the flag in there, up the pole. I used to love it because we used to always fight, who's going to put the flag at the pole?
Mm.
And stuff like that. So that's what will be happening with me.
Well, on that note, let's play Boots On.
Go on then.
Get your boots on.
I became a real rebel, Mama swear it sold my soul. Yeah, she said if I don't change my ways, I'll find myself in an early grave. Well, that just might be true. So tell Mama if I do, to bury me with my boots on, in case I gotta kick that devil's ass.
Looking for your family. Identified as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, a Queenslander, and over 18. If you have been separated from your family and culture through forced removal, fostering, adoption, or institutions, or someone in your family was taken away, Link Up Queensland can help you. We do family history research and tracing to find your family you haven't met before so you can have a reunion. Link Up Queensland. 1-800-200-855. Station sponsor.
This is Chelsea Bond with Let's Talk.
This is Chelsea Bond with Vernon Hopkins, and you just heard Boots On by Travis Collins, which is Uncle's funeral song.
Absolutely.
So can I ask, are you going to have literally have boots on?
Of course I am.
That's not just the song.
No, it sings about everything I love, you know. It sings about the country music. It thinks about things about how I'd like to be perceived in life. Things about my favourite singer, Hank Williams.
Mm-mm.
Also tells Tom the Devil that I'm in my church. Don't come to get me. If you come to get me, I'm going to kick your ass.
Or something. Hey, like look out. Yeah, yeah. And there's that line he says, I don't care who carries the casket or who sings Amazing Grace. And, you know, sometimes in sorry business, there's a disagreement of who's doing what. And the song's about actually this person's life.
That's right.
And where they're going.
That's the beauty. That's what we were talking about before, about planning your own funeral. It's about them. It's about them. It's not about anybody else. That's their last request. Just carry out their wishes.
Mm.
And that's what he's singing about. He doesn't care. He doesn't care himself who carries a casket.
Yep.
As long as he's got his boots on.
Mm.
And when you plan your own funeral and you write everything down, if you do anything after that, that's fine. As long as you just
respect the wishes of the person, the absolutely. Person's wishes.
Yeah.
Mm. Look, we've talked about a lot today.
Yeah.
Now, you bet having some knee trouble. Because someone was busy last weekend.
last weekend. I tell you now, for the last couple of weeks, my knee's been blowing up and everything. I really need a reconstruction, but anyhow, I finally went to the doctors on Monday. I went to the doctors Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. And I go on next Monday to have it done. But Rinala had the Rinala reunion at the, it's a thing that, it's pretty good. You talk about how deadly it is in Rinala, but, a young fella, thought the idea up a couple of years ago, 6 years ago, you know. So they have a reunion down the pub.
Once a year, the same time every year in
every
August?
Every year, yeah, every year. And, I was down there and, there was she asked me out for dancing, and I said, no, my knee, but no, you know, Marty,
mm-mm.
Have a few beers.
Hey, that knee got...
yeah, got up and danced, and everything. I could hardly walk Friday and Monday. I'm limping around today. That's your own fault, though.
Hey. Mm. Now, games on tonight? Can you
go
give
the
us
mighty before? Bronx.
Go the mighty Bronx.
Yeah.
Go Sammy, Friday?
Sammy's all right. I don't mind him coming off the bench.
Yeah, he would belong on the bench. So who are they playing tonight?
They're playing the Sharkies.
The Sharks.
Yeah.
And is there, you got a tip? How much are you going to win by?
I reckon we'll get them by 12.
12, okay. Mm. Tip from Vern.
Yeah.
Broncos by 12. Where are Broncos sitting on the ladder?
Third. Sharks are sitting fourth, I think.
Do you think it's Broncos year this year?
I like to think so. I think a few people deserve it.
Well, all the best for tonight, Uncle. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Come on next time.
Absolute.
Okay, bye.